time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a real head-scratcher today, the strange case of the missing Clark's family and a brick structure that just, well, appeared. We've got police reports, old news articles, even some firsthand accounts from neighbors, and we're going to try to make sense of it all.
Buckle up, because this one gets weird. July 16th, 1985, an ordinary summer day in suburban Detroit, the Clark's Richard, the dad, his wife, their two teenagers just vanish. Oof.
No signs of a struggle, no forced entry. Car is still in the driveway. You said weird, and I'm with you already.
Yeah, see, here's where it gets even stranger. 3 days later, their neighbor, a guy named Gerald Thompson, he's doing some yard work, and he spots something in the Clark's backyard. A six-foot-tall cube made entirely of brick.
Hold on, a cube? Just sitting there?
Like it materialized out of thin air. Cops come, of course, even call in a demolition crew to try and figure this thing out. Solid brick, they confirmed. No doors, no windows, no way in except for a small, hollow space on the top.
Okay, a family vanishes, then a giant brick cube shows up. That's not just a coincidence, right? And then there's this note. Police found it in 15-year-old Anna Clark's room. It says the angles are wrong, but Daddy says we'll fit.
Chilling, isn't it? And add to that, the police found a diagram among Richard Clark's things, what it shows exactly. Well, that's still under wraps.
This note, though, the angles are wrong. What angles? Was something supposed to go inside this cube? Or was the cube itself messed up somehow? Like, what was Richard Clark doing?
See, that's the million-dollar question. Was he building some kind of container? Something to hide? Something. Or someone, even. Maybe the fact that it's solid brick, no way to see inside, that was the whole point.
It's just so massive, though, for a normal backyard. I mean, it doesn't seem like it was meant to be there forever. Maybe it was temporary, a stopgap, while he worked on something more permanent. And why a backyard? Could there be something else buried there?
And that diagram the cops found, who knows what it could reveal? Connect that to what Anna wrote. Makes you wonder what Richard was really up to. And did his plan, whatever it was, go sideways? Is that how they disappeared?
We were talking about the cube possibly being some kind of conduit for something, you know, otherworldly. What if that little hollow space on top, what if that's significant?
It could have been designed as a receptacle, I guess, a focal point to concentrate whatever energy he was messing with, maybe for a ritual or who knows, even trying to reach another dimension.
Okay, so let's just say for a minute that Richard Clark was, I don't know, into something way beyond what we understand. Could messing up the angles, like his daughter wrote, could that have, like, backfired? I mean, could it have ripped open something, a rift or a portal? And that's where they went.
It's a terrifying thought, sure. But it would explain why they just vanished. No struggle, no signs of a break-in. Like something just plucked them out of existence.
That diagram, the one the cops found, what if it wasn't just a blueprint for something normal? What if it was like instructions for how to control this energy, how to get to wherever he was trying to go?
And they've kept it classified all this time. Makes you wonder what they saw that scared them so badly. Was there something about that diagram, something that said the Clarks weren't just missing, they were gone?
Maybe what they saw told them that, yeah, that the Clarks weren't in this world anymore. Like the diagram showed a way through a gateway or a portal, and that's where they ended up, somewhere else.
So think about this. If that's true, could the cube itself be how we get them back? Not just a conduit, but a beacon. Something to signal their location in that other dimension, wherever it is.
Whoa. You're blowing my mind here. So you're saying we don't need to destroy the cube, we need to activate it. Find the right, the right frequency or something to open a way back.
If we could crack that diagram, understand what Richard Clark knew about this energy, imagine what we could learn. It could change everything we know about physics, about, heck, reality itself.
But that's a big F, right? And what if opening that door, whatever it is, lets in something else, something we can't control? I mean, that could be bad, really bad.
True, knowledge can be dangerous. But isn't that the whole point of these mysteries? We want to know, even if it means looking into the abyss.
We started talking about a hidden container, and now we're talking about dimensions. And that's with almost no hard facts. But that's what makes this case so fascinating.
In part three, we'll step back a bit. Look at how these kinds of stories, these mysteries, affect us. How we try to make sense of things we don't understand. Especially in the age of the internet, where these stories can take on a life of their own.
We've gone pretty deep down the rabbit hole with the Detroit brick cube, portals, other dimensions, all that. But it makes you wonder, why are we so obsessed with these kinds of stories? Even when there's like zero proof, just questions.
Well, think about it. We're wired to look for patterns, right? Try to make sense of everything. So when something comes along that we just can't explain, a family vanishing, a brick cube just appearing, our brains, they try to fill in the blanks. We make up stories.
It's like, you know those optical illusions where you can see two different images in the same picture, depending on how you look at it? Our minds, they're always trying to figure things out, even if it means inventing an explanation that might not even be true.
And then you've got the internet. It's like a giant echo chamber for these stories. You get online communities, people obsessing over unsolved mysteries, the paranormal conspiracy theories. Everyone's got their own take, and it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's like modern-day folklore, almost. These stories get passed around, details get added, changed. And the Detroit Brick Cube, whether it's real or someone made it up, it's become part of that. It's this symbol, you know, for everything we don't understand.
And even if we never find out what really happened to the Clarks, just thinking about it, coming up with theories, it connects us to something bigger. Reminds us that there are things out there, things we may never have answers for.
And sometimes that's kind of exciting. I mean, the world can feel pretty predictable, right? But then you get a story like this, and it's like, whoa, anything's possible.
It makes you question what's real, what isn't. We like to think we've got it all figured out, but maybe we're just scratching the surface.
So the Detroit Brick Cube, more questions than answers. But maybe that's the lesson here. Maybe it's not about solving the mystery, but about realizing that some things we just might never know.
It's a reminder to stay curious. The world's full of mysteries. And sometimes the journey, the trying to figure things out, that's the best part.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep looking for those answers.